Often vulgar, always explicit, and sometimes funny.
Slap box. Slap box.
Welcome to the Slap Box Podcast. This is episode 610. I am your host, Josh Albrecht, recording once again inside the Slap Box penthouse. My trusty sidekick, Agent Fox Mulder, is probably downstairs waiting to get fed. It's like less than a minute before that automatic feeder goes off. Well, he's probably down there, waiting impatiently. I don't see him currently, thus he's going to jump out and get me shortly. Yes. I was getting jacked before right before recording this. I mean, I got a whole monster inside me. That being the energy drink, not like I've got like some big beast like penetrating me from behind. Just to clarify, because I'm sure that's a little confusing. There it is. There's the automatic feeder. It's going off. I hear the jackpot. Kitty's getting fed. The phone's letting me know it's in there. Yeah, I was getting jacked on Monster. The caffeine inside the Monster. And I was watching a little bit of the YouTube, the El Estepario Siberiano, the YouTuber. If you're unfamiliar, I may have talked about him on the podcast before, but he's a fantastic drummer. I believe he's in a newer band. I'm not sure what band he's a part of now. I think he started a newer band. I know he was in a band previously. I'm not sure, but I've been watching a whole lot of his stuff lately. Damn good drummer, though. And he's got one of the greatest logos. The beard on a skull. It just looks fantastic. I mean, I'm a big fan of YouTube drummers. And YouTube musicians. But damn, he's a fantastic drummer. And I was listening to his rendition of the Foo Fighters' The Pretender, which I gotta say is a fun song to play on guitar. Listen to him play the drums on it. And I mean, no disrespect to the late, great Taylor Hawkins, fantastic drummer as well, but I mean, I really dig El Estepario Siberiano's cover of the Pretender. And gets me jacked. And I was listening to that, and then I had to play the guitar to it. I had to whip out the Epiphone Riviera I've got and do a little Foo Fighters. There's one of my neighbors outside talking. I don't know if that's like being picked up on the mics. Probably. I mean, I can hear. I don't know. Feel like the mic, if you can hear that at all, I apologize. I feel like I need, which reminds me, like, that I definitely need, like, probably need to get new windows. I can't afford new windows, but they're not sealed very well. And, you know, that's going to really affect the, electric bill as trying to heat and cool the place is a thing. But, you know, I just got the new furnace installed. I just got the new furnace update. The last podcast, it had been installed already, though the AC was not working, and I was under the impression that we had the wrong thermostat. It turns out the thermostat was fine. They were unfamiliar with the product. They just started using the Honeywell thermostats, but we got the thermostat situation. Well, we got everything straightened out last Monday. They came over. I mean, it took at the most an hour when they came back over. I was concerned that they were going to have to redo a lot of the stuff, because I knew that the circuit board that was the real issue. Why the AC was messed up, but apparently they sent out of the factory, they sent a bad board, something wrong with the circuit board that was connected to the coils for the AC. And I thought they were going to have to do more welding and stuff and really go to town, because I was told initially it was probably going to take like 3 hours, but at the most it took like an hour, and like they were in and out pretty quickly, you know. Probably disappointing for a lot of females, just be in and out quickly. but for me, it was great. Is the guy like, oh yeah, the job's done. We're done. Now I can move on to other things. But yeah, they were really quick to it, and the AC works great. It was level 9 that did my furnace, the HVAC unit, and yeah, it was the boss, the head honcho, I guess, of the install guys, which I've forgotten his name. He's an older gentleman, and he all pro man. Him and the one guy, Rich, who was there for the original install when I came out Monday. And he, Rich did also show me that there was a nest of brown recluses on, I guess that was the outside unit, not the inside part. But I wasn't really shocked because I have dealt with, since living here, I've dealt with quite a few brown recluses. So that was fun. But the AC works great now. It works great, and now I can control the temperature with my phone. If, like, you know, it's cold in the morning when I wake up and I don't want to go downstairs to fucking change things, just pull out the phone, pull out, you know what I'm saying? My pull-out game is strong. pull out the phone, you know, heat it up, turn the heat on, or I have yet to go through, I need to read the manuals. The app is really simple. There's not a whole lot to it. It's basically turn the heat AC on, set the temperature. You can change the fan. So it's not real complicated. There's an emergency heat thing. That's one thing I really need to look up in the manual and see like what that is particularly. There is a heat pump in the new unit, and I'm wondering if by turning it on emergency heat, it doesn't use the heat pump. The heat pump, you know, what you want to use all the time, because it's gonna it's gonna use the air from the outside. Just draw that in, and it takes a lot less electricity to run that. I'm guessing maybe the emergency heat maybe just produces its own air from the inside, whatever, and just use a lot more electricity. I'm just not really sure. I need to check into that. I don't feel like I'm probably going to hopefully never need to use the emergency heat. Maybe it's a thing like when it's just obscenely fucking cold, you have to kick on that fucking emergency heat. Not sure. As Agent Fox Mulder's checking in. He's Mr. Fox. He's down by my side. Looks like he's licking his chops there, cleaning the food off. Got a full belly. But yeah, the AC's all taken care of. Now I just have to fucking pay for it. not looking to having that extra bill every month, but on the plus side, it already looks like this next electric bill is going to be much cheaper, possibly even under $100, which hasn't happened in a while. I haven't had an electric bill that small in quite some time. I've had bills since living here under a hundo, but it hasn't been many. Definitely if I've ever had to run the heat, which it's cooled off again, and I have been running the heat again. There's the heat pump, though. I'm thinking it shouldn't cost that much electricity to run that heat pump, but I should find out here soon. The AC, on the other hand, it is more efficient, and I mean, having new coils and everything's cleared out, the thing's definitely got better airflow. I mean, it shouldn't cost as much. But again, I mean, I need probably new windows and shit. And that's an expense I definitely cannot afford right now. So we'll see here shortly. The smaller electric bills should ease the pain a little bit for those monthly payments. Yeah, I've still got the Pretender just blaring in my fucking head. I wouldn't say it's my favorite Foo Fighters song. It's possibly my favorite one to play on guitar. That I kind of Well, I know pretty much all of The Pretender. I need to, like, to actually play it, I guess, all the way through. Like, I know all the parts. I'm maybe not so good at some of the transitions, but knowing how many parts are played, how many times, that sort of thing, when. That's not necessarily... Like, if I played it with a band, I'd probably fuck up a ton. Because, again, yeah, not really sure how I need to go through the song and really, like, play along to the song. And I can do a shortened, abbreviated version of it. I mean, there are, like, three guitar parts going on there. I mean, the Foo Fighters do have three guitars, so it gets a little confusing to play solo. You know what I'm saying? But damn, it's a great, great fucking song. I've also I've been playing a lot more video games lately. As I, of course, and I mentioned when the Fallout series came out, I, of course, there was a sale on Steam as well as like everywhere that sells Fallout games, I guess. And I got a few Fallout games, which I've only briefly played. The Fallout 76, I tried playing it in the past, and it was just like, I don't know, I'm just not feeling it. I feel like maybe it'd be better if I played it on console instead of the PC. It feels more like a console kind of thing. I feel like I should play, like, the OG original, like, Fallout games from, like, the 90s. It gives me, like, flashbacks of old school games that I, you know, I miss. I don't really play old games very often. But the newer games I picked up, I did pick up Diablo 4 on the PC. I'm rocking it on the PC. It feels wrong to do that one on console. I had played a lot of Diablo 2 back in the day, but we're talking like 20 years ago. Easily like 20 years ago. So I wasn't sure, like, oh, how well am I going to do coming out of the gate? Well, coming out of the gate, I mean, it's still the same game essentially, just, you know, updated graphics and you know, different storylines, what have you. I never touched Diablo 3, but, you know, it was like riding a bike, starting knowing how to play it. Surprisingly, 20 years has passed and I still, like, oh yep, I know how to pedal. Which, so I'm glad that I didn't, like, come out of the gate and choose, like, oh, tell me how to do everything. They go with, like, the easiest settings. I didn't go hardcore, but I did go say that I was an experienced Diablo player, even though it was, you know, like 20 years ago. And but it's, I enjoy, like, the cutscenes and stuff, the story. There's the opening scene. I mean, Diablo 4 has been out for what, like a year, 2 years? I don't know. It's been out for quite some time now. But the opening scene where Lilith comes out. Like, the they have the scene where the they're, like, doing almost like a Raiders of the Lost Ark thing, or where they're, like, going, I get, sort of a tomb or what have you thing. And, like, there's these thieves with, I'm assuming, some kind of priest or something of that nature. And I don't recall if he's actually some kind of priest or what, but he's reading the writings on the walls and everything, and then basically summons Lilith as he ends up dying to summon her. And just a great intro. And the voiceover work, fantastic. That's good shit. Love the voiceover work. It's a cool game. It's a cool game. I have several friends. There we go. I should have maybe done some vocal warm-ups before starting today. Act like I'm a professional or something. And, yeah. But I have several friends that play Diablo 4. And I ended up buying it because, my good friend John Cash, that he's... You know, back in the Run Store days, if you've been listening to this podcast for a long time, he was involved in the Run Store there that I printed shirts out of. And, yeah, he's big into, you know, triathlons, running, biking, the whole nine. He's a very active guy. He's ran for Team USA in 24-hour runs, and just total beast. But he had ACL surgery, and he's going to be out of commission for a while as far as doing really much of anything physical. So, and he's been playing like Diablo 4 a bunch and stuff, and I was like, man, he's got to be bored out of his fucking mind. So I was like, I know he plays Diablo 4 and stuff with his daughter, and I figured maybe like I could end up playing Diablo with him. And also my buddy Pee-wee that upgraded my PC for me. He's a Diablo fan, although I play a lot of Call of Duty with him. And there's just a few weeks away, I guess the fourth season of Diablo 4 is coming out, and Pee-wee's going to be hitting that up, I know, so... I figured, but right now I've been playing it solo because I feel like I need to level up my character if I'm going to play with these gents, as they're far way further ahead in the game than me. Obviously, I mean, the campaign is way done for them. They're just doing like seasonal stuff, and I figure I've only got a couple of weeks to really get through the campaign, but I haven't been playing a whole lot. I don't know how quickly I'll be able to get through the campaign. Again, I've gotten like several games lately, and it's I'm still playing Call of Duty. I still need to play that tonight. I need to rock some COD tonight and knock out some of the one or two more weekly challenges that I need to finish out. I feel like I've got like a second job here, just playing. I need to just start streaming, going on Twitch. I mean, if I'm gonna be playing this much video games. Feel like it's just fucking should probably do that. And I've been I did get the Final Fantasy VII Rebirth, which I don't think maybe I had already bought it before. I know the last one I was talking about, it should be called Afterbirth, but I feel like I guess I did get it before the last episode, and I've been playing that not a whole lot, but I get a little bit of rounds in before I pass out at night. And, I mean, it's essentially the same game as the last Final Fantasy VII game that was put out. It's just an extension of it, because, the game's, there's a lot of programming involved. Whereas the OG, the original Final Fantasy VII, of course, was on the first PlayStation, and there was four discs of that fucker. Massive game. There's so much to it. And then now you have to do all the work of all the animations and all the... It's a lot more involved to build that game now. Even though, I mean, it was a lot of work back then to do it, but holy shit. Recapturing that. Now, they do have the some interesting stuff that they did add to it. I'm not real crazy, I guess, about the item and... transfuser, I think is what it is, where you have to like collect items and then you can make different items. It seems kind of annoying. I'd rather just get items. I don't feel like I need to collect shit, and then which I guess is one of the annoying things to me in Fallout, is that you have to collect scrap and everything to make other things. It's a tad on the annoying side. But they did add a pretty sweet card game called Queen's Blood on the Final Fantasy VII Rebirth, not Afterbirth. Afterbirth's not out yet. that card game's pretty decent so far. I haven't played it a whole lot, but it seems fairly easy to learn, and a cool little mini game. As you know, the Final Fantasy is known for some pretty sweet mini games in the day. I'm curious to see. I don't know that Gold Saucer is in this one, but I want to see what the Gold Saucer games are like. I guess I'm gonna look that up real quick. Let's see, Final Fantasy VII Afterbirth. let's see, VII Rebirth. Gold Saucer. Is there Gold Saucer? Is it in this one? Oh, it is in this one. Sweet, you can go to Gold Saucer. Like, I wasn't sure, because I know this isn't the final one in the remake thing. Because, I mean, there's so much of that original game. It's hard to get all that. But, yeah, Gold Saucer's in there. I was curious to how those games are going to play out. I mean, there's a lot of games in the original in the Gold Saucer area, but they weren't that fleshed out. You know, there was the motorbike game, and there was a fighting arena, which that'll be good to get some good prizes out of that. The chocobo racing was the biggest part, I would say, I guess, of the Final Fantasy VII, and I played the shit out of that, you know. Had to do the chocobo races. And I'm excited for that. I'm not very far in the game. I just got to the part where you can get a chocobo and ride it. You get on that chocobo, which I used to mispronounce it. But you know, I basically only knew, like, the original Final Fantasy VII was just text. So in my head, or like reading it, it wasn't chocobo. It was chocoboo. Now I don't even remember what the hell I would call it. Chocoboo, or something, I don't know. Chocobo is the correct pronunciation, apparently. Because that's how they pronounce it on the newer games. So, Chocobo, Josh. It's Chocobo. Gotta remind myself that. But that being said, I did see there was one of the YouTubers I follow, the Internet Today. I believe the name of those fellows over there. They brought to my attention that there is a Kickstarter. I think it's just a Kickstarter at this point, that it's not a finalized product. But this is just like a lawsuit waiting to happen here. But let's see here. Where the hell? I got the. Oh, here we go. It's the Paint Cam. I think it's called. Shit. Eve Paint Cam. I knew that. Paint Cam. Yeah, they do have a Kickstarter going on. It's the ultimate paintball firing security system. It's basically, you know, everybody's got, I don't have, but a lot of people have the ring cams and stuff on their homes. It's got, you know, they do that so, you know, if you can pull up your phone. This stuff's super cheap nowadays to get that, and, you know, it'll show on your phone, like, when somebody's at your door or whatever, you can see who the fuck it is. But this is a little bit different. It shoots paintballs at people. Again, seems like a lawsuit waiting to happen. Just if you're firing paintballs at people. Especially, you know, I mean, their face isn't protected. Where's it going to hit them with the paintball? I mean, this could take somebody's eye out, sort of thing. But it uses AI to make the decisions on who to shoot. Which seems like a horrible idea. Like, it uses facial recognition. So you can, I guess, show it connected with pictures, I guess. be like, hey, this is a trusted person. From what I understand, when somebody comes up to Eve here, it goes all Ed 209 and gives you like a 10-second warning that you to leave, otherwise you're getting shot. It's like, oh man, I don't think I have any Ed 209 stuff pulled up. I'm trying to remember. Like, I don't think I have Ed 209 in my, like, sound clips. I'm pretty sure. Pretty confident. I wish I would have thought about that before doing this. it doesn't look like my laptop's going to help me out pulling that shit up. But definitely, you know, you have 10 seconds to comply, sort of thing. And it would just go on like that. Of course, there's that famous scene in the OG RoboCop that, yeah, I don't have any sound clips of that particular event. But of course, Dick Jones tells that other fella in the OCP meeting to pick up the gun and aim it at Ed 209. Of course, Ed 209's, I think, initially gave him like 15 seconds. But I know it did like a countdown, and the guy drops the gun, and he's still like, "You have 10 seconds to comply." And of course, annihilates the guy. But I'm imagining that kind of thing going on with these paint cams on your house. And, you know, Amazon delivery drivers coming up, like, what the fuck? 10 seconds to comply, and then, like, all this, you know, a bunch of delivery drivers getting shot with paintballs. And it's AI deciding where to shoot these people and whatnot. And, this just seems like a horrible idea. And, it could cause some injuries, especially if it's like point blank and shoot somebody. It could bust open some skin. One more reason why to not become an Amazon delivery driver is if the, people didn't need more reasons. As well as, I guess, just a postal, the postman. Another reason for somebody to go postal, unfortunately, is, I guess it's a reverse postal, as it's not the mailman doing the shooting. As, yeah. Shit's pretty crazy, though, that it'll do that. And, apparently, like, it'll give you the option, like, if there's a stranger, like, it gives you an alert on your phone. But, if you don't immediately see the alert, you know, are you, is it just going to start shooting, like, when a stranger comes to your door? After the 10 seconds are up, you know? And apparently, even if it recognizes one of the faces, like, it gives you the option. Do you trust this other person with them? Like, say, like, your son or daughter has a boyfriend or girlfriend, and, you know, they come up to the door, and then it's like, hey, do you want to shoot? Do you want to shoot your daughter's boyfriend? And what if, how well does this facial recognition really work? You know, AI is not perfect by any stretch of the imagination. It's, a lot of ways, pretty terrible. And what if they're wearing a fucking hat or something? You know, when it's somebody that lives in your place. Or, I mean, if you come up to the door, you're trying to find your key, and, you don't have your phone on you, so you can't use the app. You're wearing a hat, some sunglasses, or, you know, hell, you just ran a marathon. You're just looking haggard. Stuff's not looking right. You're wearing sunglasses. You got a hat on. And it doesn't recognize you. Like, oh, shit. And then you just, you're fumbling with the key. All of a sudden, Eve decides to just light you up. I mean, I get why people would think it was cool to just have a device that could shoot people, because if you're thinking of somebody's, like, trying to steal your package that's on your porch or something, I'm just like, yeah, that's great, but... And apparently, too, it can use tear gas, which you can hook this thing up with tear gas. That sounds like a horrible idea, just tear gassing people on your porch. That sounds like a real major lawsuit. I mean, paintballs... You know, probably aren't going to hurt you that much. I mean, it's going to hurt. It's going to leave a bruise, especially, like, up front. I mean, if it hits you in the eye, could take your eye out. I mean, there are some serious injuries. Most likely, though, I would imagine it's not going to shoot you in the eye. I mean, that's the most dangerous thing I would imagine a paintball from one of those devices could do to you. But tear gas. Like, man, you're hitting these people with tear gas? And then also, like, if you're home, is that shit gonna... You got the window open or something. This just sounds like a horrible idea. Just horrible idea. But, yeah, if you want to fund that, they have a Kickstarter. Their website is paintcam.eu, so it's a European thing, which surprises me that the Europeans would go for this, considering they're much stricter on gun regulation and what have you. But something tells me they're probably aiming at the American market, which, I mean, there's a lot more people that live in America than there in, say, England. Which is, it appears that it's out of England, somewhere in the UK, where they're the brainchild of someone there. Again, yeah, we have many million more people living here in the States than they do in the UK. And so it would be a much larger audience. But I would think the Americans would be the most likely to use this fucking device. yeah. Again, though, I'm pretty sure, like, you know, sure, it sounds like a cool idea initially, but when you really think about it, like, yeah, this is going to do, like, I, you know, as the, like, if I was the owner of the device, I'm thinking I'm probably going to get shot or one of my friends are going to get shot, which would be kind of funny. it would be kind of funny. But, you know, as soon as, like, you know, you don't want to get people, you know, shot or, you know, just delivery drivers. No one's going to end up delivering packages to you anymore because, like, he's got this fucking paintball gun out there to shoot people. I'm not going over to fuck that dude. And to mention, you could, I'm assuming, get, you know, lawsuits for, you know, I don't know, assault? Again, though, I mean, it would be pretty entertaining. I wouldn't want to be the one to buy it, but if this does come out, again, it's being kickstarted. Not necessarily going to come out. I feel like there's some, it may not be considered legal, especially with the tear gas situation. Feel like it may have some issues, legality issues, whether or not you can do that. But I mean, hell, people have those glitter bomb packages and stuff. And I'm not sure about the legality of that either. The glitter bombs, where it just goes off and shoots glitter, not so bad. But they have some that shoot other things out of them. And can get awfully dangerous. But again, what motherfuckers? I mean, just because somebody steals a package off your porch, it doesn't mean you should be able to, like, severely injure them, you know? Giving them a bomb into your Amazon package, probably not the greatest idea. But I would love to see, though, I'm going to check it out. If this device does come out, I'm going to look up videos, of course, and watch these people get shot, because I'm sure it's going to record video whenever it shoots people. And I'm going to love to see that. I'm going to love to see people having these paint cams set up and, like, say their child comes to the door. I don't want to see them, like, especially a child, really get, like, seriously hurt, but it's going to be funny seeing the owners and their family getting shot on cam, because, you know, if that does come out, that's going to be a big viral thing. There's going to be all kinds of those fucking videos all over of it shooting people it shouldn't, or, you know, just like, oh, I can choose to shoot my friend if I want to. He comes to the door. It just seems like there's going to be some devious things that go on, more than just, like, the mistakes. The people are just going to be like, I can shoot anybody that comes to my door. And, yeah, it's going to create some viral sensations. It's funny to talk about that and, like, thinking, like, ooh, this would be great for TikTok. But it looks like TikTok may not be around much longer. Of course, they signed that bill into law that, well, most likely, I mean, I don't know what the odds are on TikTok being banned, but, it's forcing American companies to buy out TikTok, which... I feel like this is just going to be the end of TikTok, because the people that are lining up to buy it which there's no word on whether or not ByteDance, I believe, is who owns TikTok, on whether or not they're going to be willing to sell. But, I mean, if their app gets banned here, I would assume that they're going to be out of a ton of money with being kicked out of the U.S. with the, what is it, 320 million population. I don't know how many Americans are on TikTok, but it's in the millions. It's not every 320-plus million of us, but it's many million. And that's going to be a loss of a massive amount of ad revenue and whatnot from that. Now, of course, it's a Chinese company. China has like a billion people. There's a fuck ton of people. I'm not sure what the population of China is, but it's much higher than the U.S. And that market alone should mean that they're fine, but that's going to be a massive loss of income either way. And they're probably not going to want to take that hit. I would assume, I mean, they're still trying to fight this, I believe, in the courts, even though it has been signed into law. I mean, I don't follow it that hardcore. But I would think that American, whoever buys it, I mean, Steve Mnuchin is one of the people who's buying it. Of course, he was in the Trump administration as what, treasurer? He also was like a producer in Hollywood for a long time. Just a real scummy guy. I mean, I could go into details, but that's neither here nor there. But like, there was the Activision, former Activision CEO. His name eludes me at the moment, but he he got in a lot of controversy running Activision. He's just another POS. That there was, I guess, a lot of lawsuits against him, the bad practices that were going on in Activision. There's some people from, I want to believe, Shark Tank that are possibly going to buy it. But again, not the greatest people. I wouldn't think anybody, though, that has the cash to just buy TikTok, which is going to be, I would imagine, in the billions to buy this thing. I wouldn't think they probably are the greatest people. I mean, I can't think of one individual that runs, that's the head of a social media company that's not a complete POS. So I guess it wouldn't be that different. So we shouldn't be that concerned. I'm not a big TikTok user. I only on there because I have so many friends that are on TikTok constantly, and they send me videos and stuff. Well, I got to fucking see the videos. I got to be on TikTok if I want to fucking see these links that they're sending me. I mainly just watch YouTube. I'm just stuck in YouTube as I've been. I'm an old man. I'm a man. I'm also a creature of habit. So I'm just used to watching YouTube. I never got into Vine, which is like a precursor to TikTok, and that sort of thing. It is funny to me. I mean, it is complete bullshit, them trying to ban TikTok. As, like, what the argument, which there's no real proof that the Chinese government is hoarding all this information, but they're saying that the communist Chinese government is stealing all of our information from TikTok. Which I don't know whether or not the Chinese government is doing that, but what information are they getting from TikTok that they couldn't just, because all social media companies sell the information that they have. So, anything Meta, you get your Instagram, you get your Facebook, fucking WhatsApp, there's the list goes on. And your formerly Twitter, X, still ridiculous to call it X. Not the porn site. Well, it's got porn on there, but, that one, all of them sell your information. So if the Chinese government just wants the information, they could just buy it from any social media company, because they'll sell your information to whoever is paying. Of course, Zuckerberg, the head of Meta, which is ridiculous, Facebook, the android, he's not a real person. He doesn't look like a real person. He doesn't look or act like a real person. He has got to be some kind of robot. But of course, he has led the charge for taking down TikTok. Because, hey, it's the biggest, I mean, it's his competition. And so it appears at the moment that he is winning this fight. And I could see Meta, of course, buying out TikTok as well. And then just like which they did, you know, with Instagram and everything. And Instagram was better before Facebook fucking reared its head. I mean, it's got some cool features on it now, but man, I miss the days of pre-Facebook Instagram. Which, I mean, it's now it's just, I mean, I still go on Instagram a lot, but it's just become one ad after another. You scroll down a little bit, it's another fucking ad, another ad, and you very rarely see. Now they at least made it to where you can go and go to a different thing to follow, to see what people you're really interested in, like your favorites, I guess, and see what they have posted, whereas a lot of the stuff, it's just sending you other stuff. We think you're going to like this. Like, fuck off. I just want to see, like, the pictures and videos of the stuff I'm interested in. Don't try to sell me on other shit. And all these fucking, all these products you're trying to fucking sell me, motherfuckers. Although every once in a while, I don't think I've ever bought it. Instagram, anything off an Instagram ad. They kind of got me the other day where I was kind of interested. There is a Beatles ad for there is the parts of bricks. They're like cutting off slivers of bricks from. I tried to look to see if this was legit. From what I gather, it might be. It's probably legit. But they have, I didn't see anywhere where it was like a scam, just from a brief Google search, not saying it's not a scam, because I feel like you could just cut a piece of a brick off and like, hey, it's part of the Cavern Club, where the Beatles, before they hit big, of course, they used to play in the Cavern Club all the time. And apparently there's an Instagram company that's doing ads on Instagram where you can buy slivers of bricks from the Cavern Club, which you can buy actual bricks from the Cavern Club, like a full one, but it's like, you know, 11 grand. It's something ridiculous for like a full brick, but this is just like a sliver of it, which I thought was kind of cool. They have, not just do they have like the Cavern Club, but there's Strawberry Fields, which of course is, I guess Lennon as a child would go there. And wrote the song Strawberry Fields Forever. You can get a brick from Strawberry Field. a sliver of a brick. And then there's from George Harrison's childhood home, which the Beatles used to practice at when they were, I guess, you know, when they were the quarrymen. And there's a piece of wood, I guess, from that. Whereas apparently they took a door frame that was replaced in that place, and then they took that slivers off that door frame and sent it out. Which they're not charging a lot for it, so I mean, even if it was a hoax, or a complete bullshit, I mean, you know. I don't know, I think it's kind of cool having that kind of memento. I mean, when I've traveled to Ireland, on each visit, I've brought back a rock. So it's like a piece of Ireland. It'd be cool to just have a little piece of something, you know. Whereas, like, I mean, I don't think I'm going to get any real magic that the Beatles had. But just, like, being like, oh, man, this is a brick where possibly, you know, they stood in this room and it heard, like, the early Beatles songs. Like, the vibrations from John Lennon's voice and their guitars, drums and everything, like, went into that brick at one point. Like, all those pieces. Well, not Strawberry Field, I guess. I don't think they ever played out Strawberry Fields. That, you know, maybe John Lennon walked on that brick at one point. But the Cavern Club and George Harrison's, you know, the wood from the doorframe, I would imagine more so of the Cavern Club would most likely, I mean, it stored those vibrations in it at one point. The same vibrations. Which I guess in a way, I've already had those vibrations going through me because I've listened to their music so much. But not from a directly in a room when it was like first being created. That's something magical. That's a magical mystery tour in itself. My stomach is telling me it's lunchtime. Damn it. I probably should have ate more for breakfast this morning than just a banana and a couple of Ritz crackers. But I didn't, and here I am. I did think about buying one of those slivers. It comes with like a picture of the Beatles and stuff. It's not, I don't even, you can get all three of those for like, I don't know, it was $100 or something. Each individual one is like 30, which again, even if it was, did find out it wasn't actually, I mean, it'd be disappointing, but at the end of the day, I mean, it is just a slice of a brick. Like, I feel like I missed out when Crestwood Mall was being torn down, like, before that. I felt like I should have just went in there and tore, a piece of the tile out of the arcade, because I used to go to that arcade all the time. I used to go to Crestwood Mall. It was my hang. And even before, like, I could drive and go there, it was, like, the mall that, you know, like, my brother and I always wanted to go to when we were kids, like, doing Christmas shopping and everything. It's like, hell yeah, let's go to Crestwood Mall. And, because, of course, they had the arcade. And it had, you know, the stores that we wanted to go to. But I really enjoyed, you know, going to that arcade. And it was kind of sad that I didn't go in there and just rip up a piece of tile or something. Just bring like a little chisel with me or something, you know, just take out a piece of tile. I'm thinking of myself being a child and then I'm taking out my childhood. That's what's going on. I don't know. My brain is making some weird connections today. But I definitely, and also there was the elementary school I went to, which was one of my, they had a lot of my favorite moments of being a child, was Fifth Street Elementary here in town. And that was torn down. I felt like I should have went in there and took a brick or something. it's a weird, you know, I don't know. I just like souvenirs like that. And like, there's some magic in it. I don't really believe necessarily in magic, but there's something... something to artifacts like that. As it's almost like, you know, having like that from a place that I had a lot of just great memories and being there. Although I've never been to the Cavern Club and I don't have any memories there, but it's just, there's a bit of magic to that in my brain. That, yeah, again, I mean, literally the vibrations from, you know, all of the Beatles and, of course, Stuart Sutcliffe. That was, you know, part of the Quarrymen. He wasn't, I guess, a Beatle. So I think by the time Stu left the band, was fired, what have you, that they were the Beatles. Or I mean, he wasn't there. Yeah, I don't recall. It's been a while since I caught on the early history of the Beatles, but I mean, it's got the early days magic. And it heard the vibrations. It was, you know, feel the vibrations, like Marky Mark was singing about in the Funky Bunch. That's what he was talking about. He was talking about the bricks of the Cavern Club. Like, feel the vibrations. You feel them. Yeah. It's so funny to me that Mark Wahlberg just hates doesn't want to be reminded, basically, that he was Marky Mark back in the day, and his music, man, it's some good, some bangers. He had some bangers, you know, basically that one song. But I would love to see Mark Wahlberg, just do some karaoke now to Marky Mark and the Funky Bunch. Just own it, man. Just own it. It's a classic shit. Just remember him being shirtless and, what was it, Calvin Klein, like in his underwear and shit. Just, yeah. He was shredded even back then. I mean, the dude still works out like a beast, but, like, I mean, he was fucking shredded back in the Marky Mark and the Funky Bunch days. Classic stuff, man. Classic stuff. It's like, son of a bitch, my stomach is dry. I do have some meat in the fridge. Of course, when I went over to John Cash's yesterday. He's a fan of going to the Renaissance Fairs. There's one that, I guess, goes on, a bigger one that goes on. Not bigger, but there's pretty involved one that goes on around here, like every year, at least one. There was a Viking Fest that happened, I guess, last week that my buddy Pee-wee went to, and he said he got this mead. He was really excited about the mead. He likes his mead, and then I was thinking of John because I knew he liked mead. He goes to the Ren Fair all the time, and I was like, oh, so I picked. I knew that they had this stuff over at Schnook, so I bought a bottle of it, and I went over there last night. But I ended up going home with the mead. They're not big drinkers over there, and so I got. They also had some other mead that they ended up giving me what was left of that too, and so it was okay. I'd never had mead before. The one I got was the Four Brothers, which is made in Festus, Missouri. The other one, I don't know the name. It's another like local people making mead. Don't know the name of that one. And they're both kind of dry. I like sweeter. Like, if I'm going wine, I tend to go to the sweeter stuff. I'm a sweet guy, can I say? I like the sugar. So, yeah, I got some of that in my fridge. And I just need to pretend like I'm a Viking, I guess. Maybe if I drink it out of a horn, it'll make me feel better. Like, if I'm going to have, like, a dry wine and stuff, it's not something I'm going to drink to just enjoy the drink. It's better, like, if I pair it with a meal and just have it with a meal and just, like, a little bit. I'm not going to, like, plow back on some dry, get some Chianti. Unless I've got, you know, some liver and fava beans. That's the way to do it, man. Get yourself, if you're going to be a cannibal, get some Chianti, you know? Oh, Hannibal Lecter style. I am hungry. Even though I'm not hungry for a person, you know, I really don't want to be a cannibal. It's not something I'm looking to do. The mead doesn't sound real great to me right now. Alcohol doesn't sound real great to me. Just some fucking... I do have some lunch meat. I mean, I could make a sandwich, but I'll probably just eat some lunch meat. And I do need to go and get my Powerball ticket for the night. I mean, got to have that chance to win. Get the win big and be able to pay for my furnace right off the bat, you know? And possibly get those windows. That'd be great. And then I could save a ton on my electricity bill. Like in the windows, get some new insulation. That'd be fantastic. I might go see... It sounds like I might be agreed to go see the new Godzilla King Kong movie with Muffin Man. Which I did go see the Godzilla Year One with him. I thought that was good. That was, of course, a Japanese-made movie, which the original Godzilla, of course, was a Japanese-made film. Well, all the early films were Japanese-made, which were really good films. I mean, I watched the shit out of those when I was a kid. The Godzilla King Kong ones with Millie Bobby Brown from Stranger Things, which I love me some Stranger Things. But I tried to watch them on Netflix, I guess it was. I got to say, I just couldn't finish them, man. They were not good films. They were not good films. And so looking, I would like to go to the movie theater. I would, I, you know, I but I am not, I mean, this one, I mean, it's got higher ratings. Like, I mean, this isn't real great, but IMDb's got it like 6.5 out of 10. Rotten Tomatoes, 91%, but from what I understand, Rotten Tomatoes can be bought off and often is with movies. So that's not necessarily. Let's hear what some reviews say about it. This doesn't look as good. It's out of, here's, yeah, 6.5 out of 10 on IMDb. I feel like people are going to be more honest on here than Rotten Tomatoes. From what I understand, Rotten Tomatoes is very corrupt. Although IMDb, probably the same thing. I mean, you know, let's see here what user reviews say. 7 out of 10. Slark Shark has got a project. They call it Project Powerhouse. Lots of Titans fighting. That's why we go to something like this. Right? Godzilla vs. King Kong is about the same for entertainment-wise as GXK. What is Godzilla times King Kong? Is about the same entertainment-wise as, I guess, the older film. Though I'd give the newest entry a slight edge for a couple of reasons. For one, there's a bit less silliness. There's comic relief, of course, but it's not out of place or goofy. The 80s throwbacks with the tunes, synths, and vibes were great. And lastly, the Titans were back to being the bad guys instead of humans. I always find it a bore when you watch a movie about monsters fighting but have to bear through a story of human villains and their idiotic ideologies. Side note, it's hilarious that these Titans seem to really enjoy having their royal rumbles in the biggest cities on the planet, or while destroying some of the world's most revered structures. Like, really, guys, you couldn't have thrown down in the middle of the Sahara? More destruction equals more entertainment, I suppose. Also, Godzilla just casually murders hundreds, if not thousands, just walking around from point A to point B. I digress. Go Pink Zilla. I mean, yeah, it doesn't sound, I don't know. I'm not really thrilled to go see it. Honestly, I love going to see movies in the movie theater. okay, here's a negative one by Shakershams. A bit of a disappointment. It serves up a berserk dreamscape with plenty of payoff to please the MonsterVerse faithful. Shame about the human stuff, though. Director Adam Wingard has a lot of fun with textures, colors, and camera work, and he's adept at giving fans the over-the-top monster action that they demand via an imposing new villain. Unfortunately, there's no time to spend on making things make sense or even matter all that much, and what few emotional punches are thrown lack the necessary wind-up to connect, save for some very well-done moments between Kong and his Hollow Earth kin. Overall, didn't live up to, and the plot was mediocre at best. It wasn't that as negative as I thought it was going to be. Let's see the real truth here, the real negative. Man, most of these are the over. I don't know why all the positive reviews are at the top. Damn it. Here we go. 2 out of 10 by Stannin XS. I don't know. It's a weird username. What's with all these 9 and 10 star reviews? That reviewers, that's what I'm wondering. Is this all bots? It's not they paying people to give movies high praise. Or it's now they paying people. Yeah, that's not worded correctly. This sounds like a bot. I don't think so. The negative reviews, I doubt, are bots. I went to cinema and I feel so uncomfortable the whole almost 2 hours time. The comedic thing put on the movie make this looks so cringe and corny. Holy shit, this is hard to read. What they want to transform the MonsterVerse into a joke like Marvel, and the humans in this movie are all cringe. Why? Why they allow to transform every movie into a bad, cringe, corny comedy? I can't finish reading that. That's there's another one. Maybe this will be a better bad review. by Feast Mode. So he's the better username. Hectic Gibberish. I keep coming back to these movies over and over. I love monster movies and can enjoy dumb, fun action. I'm the exact target audience. How do they continue to fail? Aside from Godzilla from 2014, they range from mediocre to terrible. And this new one is no different. I know most reviews will compare this to Godzilla Minus One, which was a good film. But I have to. Every single Godzilla shot from Minus One is better than every single shot of him in this new film. Every single action scene in Minus One is better than every single one in this one. Better story, characters, dialogue, emotional investment, everything. Minus One is better in every way. The worst thing I can say about this is I was so bored and I didn't care about anything that was happening. Zero investment. This is partly because it doesn't really have a story. Stuff just happens halfway through. I still didn't know what the story was about, what conflict we might be heading to, and any kind of buildup of a threat. They continue with another useless human plot, completely formulaic and bland. One of the only positive is a highly talented cast. They're just not given anything to work with. Rebecca Hall is the only one who gets to show her talent. Even worse is the 50-plus comedic attempts. I laughed twice. The nearly sold-out crowd laughed a few times. The rest made me cringe. They're like dad jokes. The entirety of the human story is basically a kid's movie. What about the Titans? They rarely show the scale of these monsters. Most of the time, it's from the perspective of the monsters, not the humans. So they always look like they're 6 feet tall, with everything around just smaller. Even the moments are so fast, like humans are fighting. When they fall in a second. No ground-shaking impact. It feels so fake and nowhere close to epic. I'm not anti-CGI, but the big action scenes are hectic gibberish. I give up. It shouldn't be this difficult. I don't even need it to be a good movie, just entertaining with good action. Instead, I get forgettable and dumb. Yeah, I mean, these movies are definitely just like cash grabs. Just throw out some shit with some effects of, which look, I don't need like really great stories in every film. I mean, I don't watch slasher flicks for in-depth character development. I watch it to see like what's the great kill of the movie. I watch it for just some laughs, you know, some gore. But I don't know, man. I used to really love some like King Kong Godzilla movies and stuff, but the most recent ones, Minus One, Godzilla Minus One or whatever it is, Minus Zero, whatever. The Japanese one that was put out a year, 2 years ago, whatever it was. That one was fantastic. That one was good. That one's really good. Again, the last Godzilla King Kong movies, terrible. Fucking terrible. I don't even know if I made it 20 minutes into the film. I've now seen all of Rubber, which I talked about for years. So it was like the hardest film for me to ever watch. Where it's a tire killing people. Literally a tire, a rolling tire that's killing people, that shakes and then like blows people up. I have watched that whole film. I can't bring myself to watch all this Godzilla versus King Kong movies. They're pretty bad. Pretty bad. I feel like I could get a lot more entertainment out of just almost any other movie. I can't even like put a pin on exactly what it is. That's just so, I mean, it's just the trailer for this new one looks okay, but yeah. And I mean, it's got Bryan Cranston in it, Millie Bobby Brown. It's got some decent people in there, but I'm kind of out on it. I don't know. I'm feeling like I'm probably not going to go see the movie tonight. Now, seeing the trailer for Deadpool Wolverine, or Wolverine Deadpool, whatever it is. Those two beasts. That looks exciting. I am going to go see that in the theater. That's fantastic, but it's not out until like July. So we got some time before then. I guess I'm good here after going on a rant on the lack of quality in the new Godzilla movies. Yeah, I guess that's all I've got for the day. As always, that is a kid in a wheelchair, not a trash can.